Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect from the Power Ford Studios. Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. I am in studio with some special guests from Oklahoma. I want to welcome Marla Hill and her son Holden, along with our old friend Brian Allred, and it's some kind of record that we have Brian actually in person, because I'm always talking to Brian and he's in Washington or Arizona or California, and I never know. I always tease you, don't I?
You do. Jim, it's always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
Thank you. And Holden, you are Marla's son. You guys are from Oklahoma.
Yes.
And I know we have a big event tomorrow, the Convoy of Hope, million-dollar Convoy of Hope, all kinds of free groceries and shoes and medical stuff happening. Brian, tell us about that. And I know you have them here to help you. So what a blessing they're here.
You know, something my mentor and friend Rick Warren teaches is the three-legged stool. And he says that to transform a community, you need three legs on your stool. You need the faith community, you need the business community, you need the government. That if you only have two out of three or one out of three, you're not going to get very far, right? And so what I've seen with Convoy, I've been here in this city 22 years now. I've seen Convoy, got to use it as a catalyst to bring the faith community together, to bring the business community on board, and to bring the government together to do this together. So like this year, Comcast is one of our title sponsors, $25,000 sponsor.
Wow.
And Chick-fil-A gave $66,000 worth of meals, so 8,800 meals.
Wow.
Our public school gave 3,500 meals, so we can feed over 12,000 people tomorrow, a warm lunch. And Clear Channel donated the billboards. Like, so like, we're not just saying like, okay, this little Christian business helped out. No, we're saying Comcast, these billion-dollar companies said, hey, we love what you're doing. We want to be a part of this. And then our biggest donor for Convoy Hope is the city of Albuquerque.
City of Albuquerque.
And the Bible says give honor where honor's due. Mm-hmm. And so I want to honor Mayor Keller and his administration. So they donated the convention center.
Wow.
So if I had to rent that, that'd be $78,000. But their price is $38,000. That's what the city paid for us to have
the
convention center. And then city council gave us $30,000 on top of that to help us with the groceries and all the things that we're doing. And so we're giving away, every adult will leave with two bags of groceries, 70,000 pounds of groceries. And so it's been amazing to see the business community. And then we have the churches. We have 100 churches and nonprofits and businesses that are mobilizing volunteers. And so we have Catholics, and we have Protestant, and Evangelicals, and Charismatics, and Pentecostals, and even
that's the
Calvary
music to
Chapel
my ears.
Guys.
That's what I like.
So wow. We see real unity in the city around the faith community, mobilizing. So last year at this time, the day before the event, we had 600 volunteers signed up. And Jim, we needed 1,500.
Wow.
And they told us that from Friday morning to Saturday morning, you might get a 20% boost. But Friday morning, that's about what you're going to have. We're like, okay, how do we get 900 more volunteers in 24 hours? Like, there's not enough marketing I can do on Facebook to get 900 volunteers.
Yes.
And so we came to Calvary that night, and they said, you'll get about 80% of that will show up to the rally. So I'm like, okay, 400 volunteers in Calvary's huge sanctuary is going to – 400 volunteers is awesome, but you put them in Calvary's huge sanctuary, it's like, it's going to feel like a failure. So I just prayed, Lord, you know, this isn't about us looking good, but we need 1,500 people. So do a miracle. We had 1,700 people show up that night at Calvary for the volunteer rally.
Wow.
And the next morning, we had over 1,600 volunteers. And so this year, as of yesterday, we were at 1,500 volunteers already signed up. We haven't even had the rally. So last year, a lot of people just came and signed up that night.
And
so
the rally's tonight.
The rally's tonight, 7 o'clock here at Calvary Church, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast in the main sanctuary.
And these are people like the Hills who want to be here and serve.
That's
and share things. And last year I went as an observer. And, of course, it's open to everybody. There's no charge.
Yep.
And it starts at 10 o'clock a.m., maybe a little bit earlier possibly, but you're mobilizing everybody. So the rally tonight is for the volunteers.
That's right.
And if you haven't signed up yet on the Convoy of Hope website, then you can sign up tonight and be assigned in a certain area.
Yep.
And everybody needs to come.
That's right.
Can you use 3,000?
We could put them to work. So it's convoy.org. /Albuquerque, convoy.org/Albuquerque. Sign up so children ages 10 and older can come with a parent or a grandparent. So last year, my daughter Lauren was 9. She didn't turn 10 till like 2 weeks after convoy. She cried and said, "Dad, I don't get to serve at convoy. I'm not 10. She heard me doing a TV interview. And I was like, "Honey, I know a guy. I think I can get you in. You know, yeah. You're not 10 yet, technically." And I wasn't sure if she wanted the convoy t-shirt or she wanted the serve. I think a little bit of both, or the Chick-fil-A lunch. But she was so happy. She served the whole day. She cleaned. She helped. And so, like, this is a family event. It's for families put on by families. And we just say, this is our family serving your family, right?
Brian,
and
last year I watched people handing groceries to folks that needed those groceries. And there was not, I was expecting kind of an entitlement mentality, like, okay, what can I get?
Yeah.
That's not the attitude I saw.
Not at all.
I saw homeless people come up and they had thankfulness in their eyes. And it was like, what a blessing that you're giving this to us.
Yeah.
And what a neat thing. And then they'd go over and get their picture taken.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that was really cool.
Yeah,
If I remember correctly, there were some people that were like brushing hair.
Yeah,
there were four or five women, they were doing some things, and I saw some women that really were lifted up because they were getting some hygiene help, and I just think it was really a neat experience just in the 2 hours I was there observing last year. So. Yeah. Spectacular stuff. And let's just say hello to Marla and Holden. You guys have traveled from Edmond, Oklahoma. Tell us why you're here. What got you excited about Convoy of Hope and spending some time with Mr. Allred here?
Wow.
Well, this is Marla Hill, and I met Brian Allred about 2 to 3 months ago, and John Stitt, the father of Governor Stitt out of Oklahoma, said, "Marla, you got to meet Brian Allred." And I said, "Okay." He said, "He is doing in New Mexico and across America what we are trying to do in Oklahoma." I said, "All right, well, let's meet with him." And so we met with him. We heard his vision for America Prays. And I said to my husband, my husband's name is Brian also. It's a little confusing. But I said, "Brian, let's go all in. We are all in. Let's see what we can do to help America Prays become a huge success in Oklahoma." So we are here to learn from New Mexico, and we are here to observe and to help serve ourselves as well. And so we're excited to be here.
And Holden, how about you?
Well,
I mean, is this something Mom had to twist your arm to come?
Not at all. No. I met Brian. Mom and Dad had met Brian a few months back, and they were so passionate about what was going on here in New Mexico, and were excited to learn about it. We'd been involved in helping rally Oklahoma to United Prayer, similar to what Brian Allred does through America Prays. And the whole America Prays organization, but we'd been passionate about that in Oklahoma for a while, and Mom and Dad started talking about Brian and America Prays and what's going on here in New Mexico. And so I got to travel with Dad and then my next youngest brother and then our little baby brother. So the four of us guys came up here to New Mexico for a weekend and put together a video for America Prays that tells their story and casts the vision of what they're all about. And while we were making that video was when I really got the chance to see firsthand the power of what's happening here and become so excited about it myself. I remember how often Brian would talk about the truth that when we pray, when we truly seek God, He delivers His heart to us, that you cannot truly pray and not receive God's heart. And that is he said once that caught me so off guard. He says, "People always say there's power in prayer and prayer." He says, "I'm here to tell you there's no power in prayer. There's power in God. And when we seek His heart, it's Him that comes through." And I've been moved by seeing the way that Albuquerque has responded to the prayer that's taking place in this city, and the spiritual awakening that's happening here. And I'm inspired by what's happening in this state, excited to see this spread so much further. But that's what I see the Convoy of Hope is really an outpouring of, of the church at large, the body of believers, seeking God's heart.
We have a lot more to spend, a lot more time this morning with you guys, or this afternoon, I should say. Marla Hill, Holden Hill, and Brian Allred in studio with me. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and we are your true locally owned and operated VA mortgage broker. As a broker, we have helped many veterans get into homes with little or no money out of pocket. This is done by lender credits. It works like this. Our rate is consistently a quarter to three quarters of a percent lower than other lenders in New Mexico. If we just match the rate of other lenders, we won't keep the profit on the higher rate. We turn that money over to the veteran. These lender credits can save the veteran thousands of dollars in closing costs. There is no reason lenders should be charging such high rates on VA loans. So I encourage all veterans looking to purchase or refinance to shop that mortgage around. Don't take a higher rate if you don't need to. And if you do, let us pay your closing costs. Call Indigo Mortgage at 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 188-34.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Marla Hill, her son Holden Hill, and Brian Allred, the president of American Praise. America Praise. I guess Americans pray too,
they
right?
They do. Through America Praise, Americans are praying.
and talking with Holden here right before we took the break, Holden, you're a pretty young guy.
I'm 21.
At 21. And I understand you're already an established author?
Yes, sir.
What are you publishing?
At this point, there's several books that I'm working on as personal projects. I'm helping America Praise.
Hold on, it's hard for me to have an attention span long enough to read a book, much less write one.
Yeah, it's wow. When I first started writing my first book, which was when I was 18 years old, I don't know that I was not disciplined enough to do it. I was passionate about the message that God had laid on my heart, and that passion propelled me. When I was 16 years old was when my mission to start writing really began. I started a project when I was 16 years old in high school, and I'll explain that project briefly in a minute. But my dad and I were reading through the book of Proverbs together the summer that I was 16, and a scripture stuck out to us that talked about that there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And Solomon writes that to his son, but my dad heard that scripture, and he looked at me and said, Holden, I want to challenge you with the same thing. The same way that Solomon challenged his son, seek the counsel of many. What if you took that scripture literally and sought the counsel of many? And so I love the idea. And over the next 2 years, that idea became a project. I interviewed 500 different Christian leaders from across the United States and the world at large to some extent, and just sought the heart of kingdom warriors and people on the front lines of missions in Africa, to inner cities and crime, to influencers across the country, pastors or business leaders or performers that you would know. Dave Ramsey was part of the project. Lecrae, a rapper, was part of the project. Craig Rochelle is a pastor who wrote the foreword to my book. There was just incredible people that were part of it. Some you know, some you want it. And just ask them all the questions that I, as a high schooler, was wrestling with about God and purpose and my life. And really, man, I'm looking at this idea of Jesus, this man who lived 2,000 years ago, and I believe he's real, but I had a question as a young Christian. That was, why is he worth going all in for? And Bring the Fire is the book that came from that project. And when I was writing it, I recognized I had to tell my own story in order to steward the journey that God had given me. And so that's where my passion for writing began.
So I'm listening to you talk, and I'm catching your mom and her countenance over here to my right, and she's not very proud of you.
Hello, Mom.
Oh, my goodness, son. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. Marla, obviously, this young man's a blessing. You see God already working and calling him, and you know, you get together with a guy like Brian, and I have a hard time just interviewing Brian about once every couple of weeks, just keeping up with the guy. So I don't know how you guys, I mean, I get the sense that this is another high energy human being right here.
Yes.
You've got,
yes.
How many kids do you have? Four?
I have five children.
Five children. I have five children also.
Yeah.
So, I feel your pain.
There's no one I'm impressed with more in the world than my mom for raising five of us.
Yeah. Well, Dad had a little work to do himself, I'm sure.
That is true.
Yeah. Hey, Marla, I know Brian, your husband, is not here, and we obviously think about him and hope everything's going well. You've got a big project on your hands with Convoy of Hope. What are you hoping to take away from this event?
I'm hoping to take away how to love our city and how to teach that to every other city across Oklahoma and across the United States. And it just begins with where you are and stewarding the influence with where you are. My husband talks a lot about stewardship. And that leads me into another whole other conversation.
Well, we're going to spend some time. Brian's going to have to leave us at the half hour break, but we're going to spend some time talking about your businesses, how you're influencing culture in the marketplace, where you live. And again, you mentioned across the country. So it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. Let's skip to Brian because I don't want to go over too much of that. Brian, we've got the Convoy of Hope. Rally coming tonight for volunteers. It's going to be at 7 o'clock p.m. on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Everybody welcome. You have over 100 churches involved. You've got every Protestant denomination and the Catholic Church and everybody praying together about the event. See, this just gives me goosebumps thinking about all the people that are coming together. You got business people. You got the city of Albuquerque. Brian, why are we having so much trouble working together in the political process when you're able to accomplish this kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I think that goes back to the beginning of time. You know, you go back to the first family and there's strife, and that's a product of sin, right? But through Christ, we have the ability to unite. And I see in Christ this amazing love and this amazing compassion. And so I'm driven by Matthew 5:16. It's one of my life verses. Jesus said, let them see your good works. Let them observe the love by the way you treat people, by the way you care for people, by your observable compassion. Let them see your good works. Let them feel your love. And they will glorify your Father in heaven. And so the Christian church in America, we become known for what we're against instead of what we're for. Mm-hmm. And we're for people. Jesus came, Luke 4:18, his very first sermon, and he says, I came to start a church for the poor.
Yes.
God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And so he goes, middle class, you're welcome. Rich, you're welcome to come. And here, everybody's welcome. But I came for the poor. And Matthew Barnett used to say this, that if you will take care of the people that nobody wants, God will give you the people everybody wants. Mm. Right? And every church wants those influencers, those CEOs, those people that can help. But, you know, if you take care of the least of these, and Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. Mm-hmm. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And so an amazing thing happened last week, Jim. We were the mayor's office, had lunch with Mayor Keller, took a few pastors and went back on Friday, took a few pastors for coffee. And Richard Mansfield, my co-chairman of New Mexico Praise, and Mayor Keller said, how can we work together, the faith community in the city? And Pastor Richard said, you know, Mayor, there's historically been this wall between the church and government, and what can we do together? And Mayor Keller says, let's tear down that wall.
Oh, awesome.
And he says, Pastor Allard, here's the commitment I can make to you, to New Mexico Praise, and to the faith community in Albuquerque. Every city facility is yours to do ministry.
Mm.
Convention center, Civic Plaza, community center. So we're going to do a pilot project for Christmas, do a toy drive like Calvary's done for years with other churches, and a food drive at three different community centers. The city's going to donate the community center. They're going to produce a flyer of services offered by the Church of Albuquerque to their people. They're going to promote the service that the church is offering, things like Celebrate Recovery. We're going to expand to community centers. And so, you know, how did that happen? Prayer. And so J. Edwin Orr, the great Baptist revivalist, said that there's no great spiritual awakening that's begun anywhere in the world apart from united prayer. So it's not just prayer, because I've been in prayer meetings that put me to sleep. I've led prayer meetings that put me to sleep. Like, it's embarrassing when you're in the front row and your wife elbows you and she says, "Babe, wake up. It's your turn to close in prayer. And it's at your church." You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's embarrassing. So it's not just prayer that works. It's united prayer. There's something about when the body of Christ comes together as one, when you get a Catholic and a charismatic and a Baptist and a Reformed guy together and pray in unity for the things that are on God's heart. So I like to say that prayer is more than a conversation with God. Prayer is an impartation from God's heart to our heart. So when we pray, we start to care about the things that he cares about. And God cares about the brokenness of our cities.
Yes.
So Jeremiah 29:7, God tells the prophet, "Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you and pray for the city. If the city prospers, you prosper." So we got to have a city mindset. We've been siloed for too long. We got our church silo, and that's the world. That's the corrupt, evil world. No, we are the city. We are one Albuquerque, right?
Yes.
And so he goes, pray for the, if the city prospers, you prosper. So God, you know, John says, "I saw heaven come to earth." And what was it? It was a city called New Jerusalem. The Bible says Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. So God is all about cities. In the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia, these are written to cities, right to the church of Ephesus. There wasn't one Life Church or one Calvary or one Lakewood in Ephesus. There were hundreds of house churches. But when God looked at Ephesus, he said, right to the one church. Right. So people ask me all the time, how many churches in Albuquerque? Actually, just one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need a citywide PA system when Brian's on the radio, so we can just play this out to everybody.
We need that.
I agree.
We really need it. Brian, thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect. We're going to be praying for you. I know you got the rally tonight, tomorrow, Convoy of Hope at the Albuquerque Convention Center.
Yes, sir.
Want to make sure every family.
That's right.
Everybody knows. There's no qualifications. You're not going to have your ID checked. You could be an illegal immigrant. You could be a regular immigrant. You could be a rich person that lives in $1 million house. Everybody is welcome.
That's right.
We want everybody to come together and be there, have a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and enjoy the day and the afternoon. And you will be blessed.
You will.
See the people there that are being helped and encouraged.
You know, Presbyterian's doing their biggest medical clinic of the year tomorrow. So I want to thank Mary Eden and Presbyterian Health. They've been one of our biggest partners. And so, you know, I have Press Insurance. They're the best in the state. So I said, I was teasing Mary. I said, I might come and get my free checkup tomorrow. I'm just not going to show my insurance card because I have copays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
All free. So free health checkups, free dental exams, haircuts. Every child ages 2 to 18 will walk out with a pair of shoes. Get your fresh haircut, your family portrait, your Chick-fil-A lunch. And then every adult walks out with two bags of groceries. It's going
to
be amazing. So
glory
tomorrow,
God.
10 a.m., Albuquerque Convention Center, convoy.org/Albuquerque.
Brian, you're going to laugh at me. I want to say amen really loud. But a long time ago, my son Zach, my third child, he said, "Dad, why do we say 80 men at the end of every prayer?" And so I say 80 men now.
80 men.
Instead of amen.
That's
80
right.
men.
Come
thanks,
on, again. Love
thanks
it, brother.
For joining us. We'll be back with more with Marla and Holden Hill. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, your pipes clank and moan. Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosca at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. We so much appreciate our sponsors. And we just had Brian
Allred with America Praise in studio with us, and he had to leave. And now I'm joined by Brianna Hill. She's one of our new guests this afternoon. And we have Mom Marla and son Holden.
Yeah, you guys whole family.
So, you guys are gracious to be here. Well, we've got more Hills in the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
And Dad's not here.
No, he's not. Baby well, sister's out there, though.
Hey, you all are in town. You're from Edmond, Oklahoma. You're in town to help with the Convoy of Hope event and observe. And I'm going to go to Marla now. Marla, as mom, we've already heard from Holden a little bit, young man, author, so on and so forth. Tell us a little bit about the Hill family. You are business owners.
Yes.
And you've got a ministry goal with all of this.
We do. We do. So the Lord has been working on my heart and Brian's heart. And I'm sure
Brian Hill,
my husband. So sorry.
Hey, he's working on Brian Allred too.
That's right. We all need to Brian's. Get him in line. And I'm sure everyone has been like me on the edge of their seats. If you're a follower of Christ, going, somebody's got to do something. Look at our land. Somebody has to do something. And so my husband and I, we looked at ourselves and we thought, well, I don't see anyone leading the charge. What do we do? Well, how do we steward what we have? What if we just stewarded what we had fully, wholeheartedly for the kingdom of God? And so that's what we've done. First of all, beginning with the stewardship of our family and our children. God has called us to homeschool. Mm-hmm. So this has been a fun adventure. And we help our children find their giftings and then help them go after their giftings. And to live a life of purpose. And so that's been fun, just stewarding them and their lives. But we've started looking at our company as well. And it became apparent to us that, oh my goodness, think about a company. It's a natural body coming together to meet the needs, the physical needs of the population, mm-hmm. employees, and the people that we're servicing through our products and services. And we're a natural body. And think about this too, Jim, that what other organization is uniquely equipped to mentor adults?
Mm. Amen.
And what other institution than business has that kind of influence upon an adult's life? Mm-hmm. And so we started considering that and how we were stewarding that. And one of the things for us, when we brought on people to work with us, it always felt like we were inviting someone to join our family. Mm-hmm. That was just a gifting from the Lord. And it was like, hey, come and join our family. And we have just made it feel like a big family experience in our company. And it's been a lot of fun stewarding our business that way. But the Lord has said, no, well, that's good, but you can do more. And so we started looking at, with our company, we provide services that help other companies talk about their products and services to their existing customers. But we started hearing from the Lord, what if we stewarded that to help companies better steward their vision, their values into their own employees, and out and into the marketplace? And what if we help them steward their influence to build up others in their very own company? And what if we could help businesses see that they are truly a church in disguise?
Mm. Well, a church in action.
A church in action.
Yeah.
Yes. And so awakening them to that idea. And so that's... through that, all those questionings of somebody's got to do something to the Lord saying, no, I'm calling you to do something. And so our little something, we just looked at what was in our hands. Mm-hmm. And we looked at, okay, so we have a business. But even if we didn't own a business, we have a family. Mm-hmm. And how are we stewarding the gifts mm-hmm. of our influence through our family and through our friends? And so the Lord has opened up all kinds of examples that we want to share with the world, that if you start opening your hands and saying, Lord, all I have is yours, show me how to steward this for you so that my life has maximum impact. Help me to love the world as you love the world all the time, always, no matter what. And we started praying 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the verse, if you'll remember, says, if my people, and that's God saying that to us. He's saying, if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and turn from my wicked ways, then I will heal them. I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. So we started praying that every single day at 7:14 a.m. and p.m. And the Lord showed me through praying that simple scripture that I have not had a broken heart for the poor of my city and of my state. I have been a mother that has been stewarding my influence to raise my children. I have been a mother that has been active in the church. But I have not been a mother that has looked outside of my own busy little mom circle to the plight of my people in my neighborhood and in my city. Mm-hmm. And when God started breaking my heart for all people, he started giving me his heart. Mm-hmm. And so that is the story. That's what I want to tell the people at the table that are listening now is start stewarding your life, asking yourself, what can I do so that I can show the love of Christ to others?
We have a young lady, Brianna, who just joined us. Brianna, how do you fit into all this ministry? Are you just the daughter and you're coming along for the ride? Or what do you feel God's calling you to do?
So probably from just talking to my mom and my brother, you can see the bar is held really high in my family.
Yes.
But my father has sent all of us kids, I have four siblings, to interview 500 leaders and just learn from them. So I am actually doing the same journey that Holden did, and my goal is to interview 300 leaders and then write a book about leadership and purpose. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently around 200 interviews right now.
Wow.
And then I want to be a business owner and be in real estate. So then I will go on to interview 200 leaders in business, real estate, and finance. So that is my focus right now. I have a youth ministry called Live on Purpose, and it's about helping the youth know that they're here on purpose and for a purpose. And I created this ministry because I've looked at my generation and seen this huge hole that they have to fill themselves with something they don't have. And so our goal through the ministry is just to love these kids, to give them the tools to go accomplish their God-given purpose. And so it's been really fun to just see how God works through this ministry. And ultimately, I say that it's his ministry. It's not even mine. I give it to him to give him a time and a place to do the works that he needs. And so it's been honestly a blessing and honor to me to just give him that opportunity. And so it's fun. Mm. It's never boring in this family, and we're just trying to do God's work.
I think that's a pretty big understatement. It's never boring in the Hill family. We're going to have more with the Hills right after this. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, Please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. I am joined this afternoon by Brianna Hill, Marla Hill, her mother, and her brother Holden. You guys are gracious to give us all this time, but we're blessed that you guys have this story to share with us. Marla, in our previous segment, you shared that you spent time as a mom helping your children to understand how they are gifted. And I want to direct a question to Brianna. Brianna, in your generation, I guess you would consider yourself a Generation X person. How old are you?
I am 17.
You're 17. So do you think Christian friends that you might have don't maybe really understand how they are gifted?
Absolutely. So with Live on Purpose, that's how we go about helping kids find their purpose, is tapping into their natural gifts and talents and connecting their passion to that. So I think that God gave each person a set of gifts to go accomplish the passion that he put on their heart. So I might have a completely different passion from somebody else, but God gave us our gifts to go focus our energy to have the greatest impact there.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm kind of going off a script. But let's say, and you mentioned that you want to be a business person.
Yeah.
Any problem with Christians making money?
Absolutely not.
No. But what happens is, and I think it's your heart, you're already displaying that, is if God calls you to be a business person, he's also going to cause you to give in a big way.
Absolutely. Yes.
And that's an amazing ministry. I know Paul the Apostle talks about the Philippians, you know, giving money to support them going around the country telling people about Jesus.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, sounds like your brother likes to write books and communicate that way. Maybe a preacher one of these days.
Exactly. Yes. And how boring would it be if everybody was just the same?
Tell me what you think about young people. Would you say that most people have heard about Jesus? Somebody's mentioned his name and they at least know something about him.
Yes.
What do you think people that are not believers, what do they need to hear or see to have their hearts changed?
That's something that I've been asking myself a lot recently, and even with believers. I think a lot of my generation have grown up in Christian homes, but they don't have anything to really base a firm foundation on their faith. And so I think that for people to have just a authentic and passionate heart for Jesus is just spend time with him. And this is something that I've been thinking about for myself recently, is why don't I feel God so strongly like I used to? And I read this verse that says, I forgot the exact verse, but it says, when you pursue me with your whole heart, there you'll find me. And I realized that I was only pursuing him with half of my heart, and so therefore I'm only getting half of God. Go spend time with him. If I have a friend and I'm upset about me not having a good relationship with her, well, I'm going to go spend time with her, get to know her. And that's what we have to do with God. Treat it like the same relationship. Go ask him questions. Spend time with him.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you and Holden this question.
Okay.
Shoot. You guys both have cell phones.
Uh-huh.
You both have accounts with iTunes and
all the things.
Snapchat and Faceplant or whatever all these other social media things are. And so where is this time coming from if you're doing all that?
Well, it can be a struggle. So I think social media is a two-edged sword. And I've challenged myself to limit social media. And when I find myself just wanting to go to social media to check something, why don't I just go read YouVersion, the Bible app, instead? I mean, that would probably be better use of my time, and limiting that time to just go pray for a little bit. It doesn't have to be super religious, but just wanting to pursue him with your whole heart. Because when you find Jesus, it's something that it's so amazing. You just have peace and you're better to accomplish the things that you're made to do, and just you have, gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? You're just better equipped to go accomplish what you're supposed to when you go and take that time to spend with Jesus and rest in him.
Wow. Can I jump in on here for a minute?
Yes, absolutely.
Brianna, what you're saying is you make me such a proud big brother. And I remember walking through, and even still, when I was in high school, as a Christian in Oklahoma, and I don't think that most Christians are this way, but in Oklahoma, it's cultural to be Christian. Yeah. And so it was really easy for me to grow up finding a sense of self-glory in the fact that I was a really good Christian. And I was popular in my church. I was popular at youth camps. I was popular because I made myself look like a good Christian,
by your
high school stud kind of a guy. And that was worshiping myself. So I made myself my own God, the church way, in a sense. And
so good.
But the crazy thing is, as much as I believed in God, I loved him as much as you can without really knowing his word, but I didn't study scripture. I did not saturate myself in it. I was not seeking God in prayer consistently. And those are basic things I used to hear about all the time at youth camps. Like, man, you got to read the Bible. You got to pray. I'm like, that's such basic stuff. Get me beyond the basics. Like, what? I played basketball in high school. How stupid
that
would it be?
That is God's anointed game.
Jim was just talking about a minute ago. And how crazy would it be in basketball if I start looking at, get me past the being in shape, stupid.
Yeah.
Get knowing how to shoot a basket. No, I need to know how to 360 dunk. That's what I need to know how to do. What? And yet that was me as a Christian.
Yeah.
I was like, get me past the basics, the fundamentals. Now, that all changed for me about 17, 18 years old when God started to shift my heart in a powerful way. And I was asking heartily at that time in my life, Jesus, I want to live for you, but here I am saying no, in a sense, to so many promises that the world makes me, promises about lust, promises about image, promises about my basketball teammates would be talking about this or doing that, or high school friends of mine would be doing things that the Bible said you can't do that. And I was like, man, I won't. But really on the back end, I was wondering, Jesus promised that he brought a life that was truer than anything this world offers. So really, I'm not saying no. I'm saying yes to something else, and I want to know what that is. And so I hit that challenge about 17, 18 years old, and I started to, for the first time in my life, dive deep into Scripture. And that really was catalyst. I was talking with a pastor once, and I did an interview project in high school and wrote a book about it. But one of those people I interviewed was a pastor out of D.C., And at the beginning of our interview, he said, Holden, here you are, you're doing all these, you're doing this cool project, you're writing this book and whatnot. And I want to just ask you, first of all, though, what does it mean to be a Christian? Like, what does it take to be saved? And I could have come up with an answer on the spot, I guess. I could have made one up, but I realized I didn't really know. And that hit me hard. And, so when I started to dive into the word, I realized I didn't think I had time. I was like, I don't have time to be in the Word constantly. I don't have time to be in prayer. The reality is that is our source of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And how crazy is it to be a pro basketball player and be like, I don't have time to stay in shape because
I'm always amazed by these basketball players that are making $10 million a year and they can't shoot free throws. I mean, what, you didn't have time to practice?
Yeah.
And that's really similar to what we're talking about here. But here, I'm going to give you an opposite view of this. There's people that not only don't take the time because they're on social media or they're too busy.
You have to make the time.
To read. You have to make the time. And that's true with relationships.
Yes.
Your mom and dad, I can tell they have a good marriage, and it's probably because you spend some good time working at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take that time.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other extreme that I see. I see people that are culturally Christians on Sunday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they hear us talking about getting into the Word, going to worship, going to church, spending some time with your family. And their question in their mind is, how can I do all of that on Sunday? They don't realize. I know people that they're in Bible studies 3 days a week. It's just like training in the gym. Yeah. If you go lift weights or you go to a Zumba class or you're doing some other type of exercise one time a week,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it ain't
sorry.
Work. It's not happening.
Yeah.
You gotta get in, you gotta train and you gotta have some That's discipline. Right. And what's amazing about it, Hebrews 12:11 is my favorite scripture. It says discipline is never pleasant. Mm. It's never gonna be pleasant to run 26 miles.
No.
It's never gonna be pleasant to do the exercise that you need to do. But then the second half of the verse says, but it yields for those who train by it. It gives you back more than you invest. It yields for those who train by it, the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to get fruit. You're going to get back on your investment when you spend some time in the Word. And if you're disciplined a little bit, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be back to talk to Marla in our final segment. You guys can chime in. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. One more segment. Stay with us.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number, 444-7200, or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elmer Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now, and it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Jericho.
Yo, New Mexico, it's Rick from Jericho. Jericho has doubled our greenhouse space, adding more parking and several new lines, including so much Southwest art in the core, you'll have to come more than once to take it all in. And still excelling at being your full-service garden center with trees, shrubs, bedding plants, landscape design, and planting surfaces. So come let our friendly, willing, and able, knowledgeable staff serve you. So thanks again from your gardening angels at Jericho. All your yard and garden needs. JerichoNursery.com. Hoorah!
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
If I'm free, my family should be too. I made up my mind, I'm going back.
The film Harriet follows the life of a woman born into slavery in 1820 Maryland. She was given the slave name Minty Ross, but we know her better as the freedom fighter Harriet Tubman. This historically based drama gives viewers a sense of the evil of slavery. Now, there's foul language in the mix as well as some violence, but at the same time, the film peers into Harriet Tubman's soul and lays bare her intimate relationship with God, a relationship that is credited with the rescue of hundreds of slaves. So we'll give Harriet a 3 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Walaszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. I am in studio this afternoon with Marla Hill and her children, Holden and Brianna. Thanks again for you guys being here. They are in town for the Convoy of Hope event that Brian Allred has brought to Albuquerque. It's an amazing second year it's happened. Over $1 million in goods and merchandise and services available to people for free. 12,000 meals.
Glory to God.
Couple bags of groceries. We want to invite everybody to come out. And I want you to come out not only if you have needs. I want you to come out and volunteer. Mm-hmm. If you want to volunteer, come to the special event. It's a rally for all the volunteers. It's going to be held on the Calvary Albuquerque campus tonight at 7. Mm-hmm. Want you to come by, do some volunteering, even if you can only give a couple hours. The event's going to happen from 10 a.m. to 3. Volunteers have to be down at the convention center about 7:15 mm-hmm. to kind of get oriented mm-hmm. and everything. But you don't have to serve the whole day, but I think you're going to find that you're going to end up serving past the whole day because you're just going to be blessed the whole time. I was out last year just looking at the smiles of homeless people and poor families that were taking advantage of the groceries and the different things. And the way their countenance was, they were so blessed and so excited. I just, all I could do is smile the whole time.
Yes, it just makes your heart just so happy.
It does. And you know, a lot of people that are Generation Z, millennials, all these different things, I don't know what label we fit into, Marla.
Old people.
The worst thing is I'm the oldest person in the room, so that's not a good thing. Marla, your mom to these special young people, you see some things going on there, and you're not asking them to join your ministry. You're seeing God use them the way they're gifted and the way they're called.
Yes, and I learn from my children every day, every day. And they challenge me and inspire me. I'm so grateful for them.
You started the conversation by saying that you wanted to use your business mm-hmm. and the way you interact with your employees and the way you mm-hmm. serve people through your business to impact the culture in mm-hmm. Edmond, Oklahoma,
yes.
and to influence the marketplace and to ultimately direct people to Jesus. Marla, my question for you is how do you allocate the time to be married, mm-hmm. to run a business, mm-hmm. and to be a mom mm-hmm. With all the things that you're doing?
Mm-hmm. My husband has been excellent at teaching me how to multitask. Usually the female is the ultimate multitasker.
Yes.
But my husband, he's like, Marla, it has to be fun, and let's take our children with us. Because we homeschool, so mm-hmm. we are a little unconventional in how we do things. And not to say, you know, you can have incredible children in the school system as well, but this is what we have done. So we take our children along with us and show them what we are doing. So some of their school is actually coming to Albuquerque, mm-hmm. New Mexico, and seeing us use our influence. One of the things that I have learned as well, because I desire to have so much more time to be in God's Word, and God's Word is powerful, and it simultaneously teaches you what not to do and heals you at the same time. And so as I was lamenting unto the Lord and I was going through some hard times in my life, the Lord reminded me that I can open up my mouth and I can speak. And I can speak according to His Word. And I can speak His Word. And so that is one of the ways that I gain time with the Lord, is I speak out loud His Word, and I speak to Him out loud all throughout the day and reminding myself of His Word. And I also speak that directly into my children.
Yes, she does.
And if you know me very well, I will begin to call you a world changer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that we all forget our identity, and that's what I want Brianna and Holden and all my children to know, that their identity is set and it's solid, that they are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so they are either a prince or a princess. So they are a world changer. So a world changer, God has called us to go out into the world and spread the good news. And that verse seems daunting, overwhelming. How can we do that? Well, it just begins with opening our mouth and sharing with our very own family. My own husband, I tell him continually that he is a world changer and that I believe in him and I trust in him. And I tell my children that. And I said, the only way that you will be a world changer is if you believe in God, that He has created you to be one. And so that's what I want to tell your listeners, that they are created to be a world changer, to start right now speaking His Word and speaking according to His Word. And you will, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And you know where you're weak and what you need to hear. And so start speaking His Word. And if you don't know His Word, pick one verse from the Bible app. They share a verse of the day. Commit that verse to say that verse all throughout the day. And you'll be amazed at what that does to your faith.
I think one principle that people don't understand is that reading in the Bible is not like reading a normal book.
Yeah.
The Bible says the word is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
And it says the word actually has power.
Yeah.
And it's able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So it's living and active. That's what Hebrews says. The word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And is penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow. So when you read the word and you meditate on the word and you state the word, there's, I'm going to use a word called magic because people seem to understand that. It is magic, the Holy Spirit.
It's a miracle.
It is.
Let's call it what it is. It's a miracle. And it increases your God gives us all a measure of faith. It builds your faith. And I want to tell you, so in Revelations, we all know God said that I spit you out of my mouth because you were lukewarm. And as a young child, I thought, Lord, how do I make sure that I'm red hot for you? And so the script, it's very simple. All you have to do is open your mouth. For the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so if you will speak his word and speak according to his word, it will ignite the own fire of faith that is within you, and it will be contagious and beautiful to those other people around you.
So a final word from each of you, and I want to ask you about people and their self-images. They see themselves a certain way, but I don't think most people see themselves the way God sees them. Holden, how do you tell young men in this country how God sees them?
I'm a camp counselor, or have been for the past couple of years with a camp in Branson, Missouri called Canicuk. And so I'll be there during the summer. And I work with, there'll be a group of high school boys that I work with during the summer. And one of my favorite things to remind them is a scripture that I really learned for the first time only a year or two ago. Elijah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he is running from the prophets of this false god, Baal. And just before this, he had called down fire from heaven. He'd said, God, if you're real, show all of Israel and ignite this altar. And they had saturated the altar in water, and God sent down this jet of fire from heaven and consumed this altar. And if I think there's ever an instant in my life where I think, wow, I know it's real and I'm all in, it would be seeing a jet of fire come down from heaven in response to my prayer.
Yes.
But that's not what happened. Elijah is running for his life, and as he's running in this wilderness, he comes to this cave, and he's in the cave, and he's like, God, I'm done. I'm done. Like, take me out of the game, kill me. And that's how done he is. And it says that an angel came and it led him on top of the mountain. And a wind came and it busted the mountains around him. And then an earthquake shook the foundations of the mountain. And then a fire, like the one he'd seen, came and it raged and it roared. But God wasn't in the wind or in the earthquake or the fire. He did all of those things, but he wasn't in them. Then it says the sound of a low whisper came. And Elijah buried his face in his cloak because he knew it was the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the number one thing I like to remind these young men I work with at camp, and that I have to remind myself consistently, is that when I know God if I try and find them in the sensational, the dramatic, those things, God does them, but he is far more constant than that. The whisper. What is the whisper? And what I remind myself is God whispers because he's close. And your identity, wow, to know it, simply God, like, ask him and say, Father, will you remind me who I am? And it's simple. God will work dramatic miracles and do wonders and all of this incredible stuff, but the simplest thing is just, Father, remind me who I am, and just meditate on that. And
it's
simple.
I appreciate all you're saying. But you've mentioned one thing over and over, and that is he's whispering. We have to listen.
Yeah.
That's so right.
Brianna, how do we listen?
Wow. That is funny you ask that, because that's something I'm really trying to work on right now, and asking God, how can I know your voice? And I can't remember where I got this analogy, but I think about my parents. So if I have three people shouting at me, and one of them is my mom, one of them is my dad, and one of them is a stranger, who am I going to recognize? I'm going to recognize my mom and dad because I don't know the stranger's voice. So how do I come to know the Holy Spirit's voice? I have to spend time with them. Just like I was saying earlier, take the time to sit down with them and not only talk to him, but this is something Mr. Olivet was saying to me. God has far more valuable things to say to you than you do to have to say to him. Not that he doesn't want you to talk to him, but sometimes just be still and listen. Just like the still, quiet voice, you have to be quiet enough to hear it. And God told me this. I think I was just in the car one day and it was just like in my mind. But he was saying, your heart is a voice that you know and your mind is a voice that you know. Kind of like my mom and dad. I know those voices because I listen to my heart a lot and I listen to my mind a lot, but I don't listen to my spirit a lot because that's just human nature. That's where sin comes in. So I have to take the time to sometimes quiet my heart and my mind to start listening to my spirit more. So I just encourage you to spend time with Jesus, and it doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer. God says, don't use elaborate words. Talk to me in simple words. And I just ask him, Jesus, I have 30 minutes. Will you come hang out with me? Mm-hmm. And he comes and he talks to me. And sometimes I just worship and he read your Bible or take notes. And anyways, I just encourage you to go and take that time because it's so worth to know the Lord that created everything over social media, over all these things.
Hey, we are so thankful you spent the time with us in studio. Unfortunately, we are getting close to being out of time. Guys are wonderful. Marla Hill, strong work with these two young people.
Thank you.
Good job, Mom. And we're blessed that you were here. If people, our listeners, want to take advantage of listening to us again, you can always go to abqconnect.online. And see that you can listen to this podcast as many times as you want. Lord bless you guys and safe travels. And we just are thankful you're here for Convoy of Hope. And we hope you can learn something in New Mexico.
Oh, my
Hope,
goodness.
Oklahoma.
Yes. We already have much. God is shining on this.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank
we'll see you next time on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.